everybody. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night edition of December 1st on our conference call simulcast between the telephone and the internet. So we're checking people in right now, and we'll be starting in a few minutes. Join with us, those of you that are listening on the internet, and inwardly welcome all the people that are checking in on the conference line. And we have Karen in Victoria. And who else is on there?
Francis in Concord, California.
Francis in Concord.
Robert from Cleveland Heights.
Hello, Robert.
And Marianne in Chula Vista.
And Marianne in Chula Vista. And while we're waiting for people to show up, Robert, do you have a clean joke for us?
Well, I would just like to thank give everybody a Thanksgiving greeting. Those of us in Canada aren't celebrating Thanksgiving this weekend, but I know all of you are down there. So lots to be thankful for down there right now.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. With the new president and all of that. And
just what I was going to say, we can be thankful for our new president.
Exactly.
I guess the Canadians are celebrating also, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a world celebration. I think everybody's feeling it.
Yes. Well, you know what? I know there's still a lot of things hanging over our heads that can be fearful, but I feel a lot less afraid about mm-hmm. something terrible happening without that guy in office. So
yeah, there was a shift that happened the night of the election. You could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Something really substantial happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what? This evening I'm going to be doing some quotes from a very interesting book that's based on Edgar Cayce's readings. That's called The Politics of Hope, which is very apropos, I think, for this time. This is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, this is Andrea from Atlanta.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
And there's somebody else there also. Someone else didn't say their name yet? We might have people listening in, because I think I announced this on my message today, so sometimes when people come in the first time, they're shy, which is understandable. Say, God, if I say anything, I'll be in trouble. Everyone will notice me. Somebody said, the fear of public speaking for most people is worse than death.
Yes.
Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
So, well, at least I've conquered my fear of death and public speaking. So,
wow.
All for the same cause. This is Wayne. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Wayne. How you doing?
Hi, Wayne. Robert, did you drop out when I asked you to tell a joke?
What was that again?
I was going to have you tell a joke while we're waiting for people to check in.
Oh.
But it has to be.
I'll try to chuckle, but go ahead.
Are you gonna? You know jokes, don't you?
Yeah, I know one.
But is it clean?
We're
on the air, and we don't want to be too irreverent, okay? Is it clean?
Yes, it's very clean.
Just a moment. I remember when I was a kid, we had a dirty joke where the boy fell in the mud. And the clean joke was he went home and took a bath. I don't know if That was my young jokes. So here's another one. This is one my father told me. Did you know the wild men of Borneo don't have rear ends? And I said, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, that clean.
Well, it's pretty clean. He says, that's what makes them wild. That was my father. This goes probably back to the 30s, that joke. Okay. This is... Say your name and your city.
Hi, this is Eli from Cottonwood, Arizona.
Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Hey, we're a stone's throw from each other now. I'm in Sedona.
Oh, okay. Back up this way. Good.
Yeah. Anyone else on there? You know, I'm going to probably do some meetings or something here in this area. So send me your email so I make sure. You're subscribed to Message a Day, right?
Yeah, I am.
Did you put Sedona down as your city when you signed up?
I'm not sure.
Well, send me an email so I make sure that I let you know that I'm doing something if you want to come.
Okay, yeah, if it's on the weekdays, I can. On the weekends, I can't.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. It'll probably be on a weekday. Okay. This is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Terry in Los Angeles.
God, I was just hoping you would show up. And so was everybody.
Well, I couldn't get in.
Everybody else was hoping you would show up, too, you know.
Yes.
They'd say, oh, my God, we have to listen to Wynn for another hour? Where's Terry?
Well, I have to drive through the dead zone up here, so I might lose you, and then I'll come back on.
You better be careful. You should pull over because, you know, sometimes you're going to get a busy, you're not going to get in.
Yeah, you know, it should be about 7 minutes to get in.
Yeah. So if you find a safe place to park, we should
That's
write a
amazing, book. Terry. Do you channel while you drive?
No, I don't do that.
Oh, good.
That's impossible, I think.
Now, for those that you are listening on BBS or not aware of our, completely aware of what we do here, if you happen to be listening for the first time, Terry is a channel, and Terry has been my friend for 25 or 30 years now, but she never channeled until a few years ago. When she got so mad that this other woman was channeling that she decided she better do it too. Is that what happened?
No, that's how it happened. I first channeled in 1995 under the tutelage of Cheryl Taylor. The world renowned channel and police psychic.
Right.
She taught me. And then I didn't channel again until Daphne was channeling, and I asked if I might be able to get the frequencies and to be able to channel the same group that Daphne was channeling, and they said yes. They started channeling at that point.
So I'm this poor guy that's got everyone around them channeling. And then they start talking to me in my dreams. So, but you know, what they did is pretty smart because it's hard for people to believe that this stuff really happens. Not you guys that have been on the line and been paying attention, but you know, an average person who, including myself, before, you know, I would say 10 or 15 years ago, if I heard my story, unless I heard all the story part of it, I probably wouldn't believe it. I'd say the guy must be making it up because it's, you know, it reads kind of like a fantasy story, and yet it really did and is happening. And did someone else just come on? I'd like to say your name and your city.
Yeah, I did. Amadon.
Who was that?
Amadon.
Oh, hi, Amadon.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here. Good. Now, you know, I just said that so much of this is like a fantasy because, I mean, you know, I got one person channeling around me and then another person channeling, and they're all channeling the same source. And while I'm writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, now, Amadon is a fellow that checked into our conference call. How long ago?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 6 months or a year ago. I'm not good on time.
6 months or a year ago, and you're in Oregon. Is that right?
That's right.
I remember.
And I can tell a little bit of that story, how you mentioned the Elohim to me, and I turned to my girlfriend and said, well, maybe we could talk to these guys, too. Why not?
So
I heard about your story and how that came up. And behold, bam, there they were.
This conference will now be recorded.
I don't want to miss this, Amadon. I'm getting it on our recording. Say that again, would you please?
Okay, so to repeat just a little bit, I heard about your story about the Elohim and how you had casually in the car sort of said, well, we can channel, maybe, you know. And boom, the Elohim came through, and that's what happened with me. When I heard that story, I said, wow, well, if he can do it, why not me? Why not anybody? So there it was. And I asked my girlfriend to come up with that, and all of a sudden, the Elohim were there. And they have, just like is true for your case, is true in my case, that they continued to come through, from then on. And, you know, the last time I saw them was last night. And I may see them many times a week.
Yes.
And not only, in fact, the Elohim, but other characters have come in. And all I'm trying to say is, I know that if a person would like to have some sort of experience of that nature, if you have some sort of faith and some sort of love for these beings that may exist out there, then that love and that faith will undoubtedly find some sort of response in you and some sort of response in them that can blend and that can create some sort of togetherness, whether it be in the form of channeling or whether it be something that you can feel, which is extremely important, that you can feel their company, their response in your soul without words. Any of that is important because all of that is connections, and connections are power.
Exactly. And I'm so glad you shared that. And I wanted to add that, you know, Amadon sent me a little audio of one of his channelings, and intuitively I felt he was really connecting. And then we did a channeling, and I asked, and they confirmed it that he was. But as a caveat, everyone who wants to hear a voice or wants to channel should also realize that it's more important to connect with the energy than to connect with the voice. Because the energy can't be deceived. It's real. And we connect with that energy on this line. We connected with that energy when she sat at the channeling with Daphne. If you're, like, looking for phenomena, looking to say, geez, I hope they talk to me. I want to be a big shot. Chances are...
Can you do anything about the echo?
All callers are muted.
Okay, I muted everybody. Okay. you guys might want to star six yourself so that in case if I open up and talk to Amadon again, we won't have that echo. Usually the echo comes when everyone is unmuted, but we'll open it up in a second. But I just wanted to say that a voice that says they're the Elohim is not necessarily to be trusted, that they are who they say they are. And it took me a long, long time to be sure, to be relatively sure that they were who they say they were. And I went through a lot of scrutiny, and I said, can this be real? Can I, you know, for the Elohim is the word for God in the Old Testament. And when I looked up the word Elohim on Google, it said the creator God of this realm. And, you know, here I am with a friend, and they're saying, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm saying, okay, can I really be talking to the creator God of this realm? Is that possible? Why were they talking to me? Who am I? I mean... And later on, they'll be talking to us because we're going to do a channeling right here on the air. And some of you are going to be saying, can that really be the creator God of this realm? And you should say that. You should say it and check it out and be skeptical, but keep paying attention, because there's a energy that will come in and that you can feel. And you may not feel it the first time you're listening. And you may not feel it because you're in your mind. You're in your thinking processes. You're in your evaluation process. And that can block the flow of energy. Or you could be going through what I call trauma. Many people have locked up energies in their bodies. And it's come from this life, from abuse in this life, through past lives. And when you first come into the presence of a light source, a light energy, what will happen is it will be provoking all those dark sides in yourself. And the first thing that will happen is the shadows will start to surface. And it will actually be worse before it's better. And that's a process of how you work yourself out. Because these sources are part of you. They're not, you're part of them. Everything is one in the universe. So we are not talking to sources that are separate from us. In fact, I'm part of you. You're part of me. It's just that we're all this huge soup, which sometimes I call a hologram or a matrix, and we're all positioned in it at different places. And usually the place we're positioned in the matrix has to do with our consciousness right in this moment, our karma right at this moment. And you can climb up through the matrix by working out your karma. And one of the ways of working out your karma is the old-fashioned way of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, be nice to everybody. Hopefully you'll balance out the negative you've done in past lifetimes, and one day you'll be in a bigger matrix in your karma. But that can take years. In fact, it can take lifetimes, because according to the information we've gotten, most people have had hundreds or thousands of lifetimes, and oftentimes we've done things in many of those lifetimes which were not of the positive. And this is not to make yourself feel bad or to judge yourself. It's part of the nature of being in this realm. We have all gone through the negative. We've all been greedy. We've all been selfish. Some of us have been murderers. And you know what? It's like we're still here. And so is everyone we murdered. So in essence, it's a huge soup that just keeps stirring. And the goal is to get beyond those places where your matrix is still in what we would call compression, and uncompress your matrix. Now, the first thing to do is forgive yourself. You don't even have to know what you're forgiving yourself for. Next thing is to forgive everyone else. Everyone who has done something towards you that you're mad at, that they hurt you, they left you, they abandoned you, they stole from you. Forgive them. And then have discernment so that you don't let those things into your life in the future. And if they're in your life right now and they're part of your life, they're part of your family, they're, you know, close to you in some way, forgive them and love them, but don't expect that they're going to be you. And don't expect they're going to understand everything you're doing. You can love them. You know, I've been having a conversation a couple times this week about the idea of yielding and power. And, you know, there's the feminine and the masculine, and the feminine is like water, and the masculine is like rock. And when you get, and everyone has aspects of both of these things. Men and women have, especially if you're on an upward path and you're on an enlightened path, you're going to be realizing that inside of you, you may have a male body, but you can be very sensitive, you can be very receptive, and you may have a female body, you can be very, how would I say, I won't say dominating, but yang, so to speak, out, you know, forceful. And you can also be feminine. And, you know, when you start evolving yourself, you can be what the situation requires. You're not stuck in saying, well, I'm a man, I got to always be on top, I got to be aggressive, blah, blah, blah. You can go with the flow of a situation, and the right energy will just come forth. But truthfully, sometimes women think they're weaker because they're yielding. And I brought this up in a couple of conversations with people this week, that in fact, the woman has the stronger energy. And the reason that is, and the way to visualize that is think of water and rock. Rock is solid, immobile, stays in place. Water is fluid. Water flows around rock. And then look at the Grand Canyon and understand that that river, the Colorado River, over time yielded to the rock, and now it has its pathway. And so sometimes what people do is when they're confronted, it's like rock against rock, and they just end up in a checkmate, or what the Elohim sometimes call as stuck geometries, when an immovable force meets an immovable force. And you might, when you have a situation like that in your life, you might, whether you're a man or a woman, you can do this, draw on the idea of yielding. And but the trick here is to choose to yield. Don't yield because somebody is forcing you to. Choose to yield because you're against a rock. And if you yield and can do it out of your own free choice, you can wear down the rock and you'll have cooperation. I mean, the ultimate in relationship is oneness. But oneness doesn't mean glommed together. Oneness means I can see myself in you. I can see your what you need. I can see what I can give you that would make you feel better. If I make you feel better and we're in a relationship, I feel better. Because if you feel bad and we're one, I'm connecting with you energetically. So I can't help but feel bad if you feel bad. So it can be a selfish thing to yield, to give a person what they really need so that they feel good, which in turn makes you feel good. And of course, that it could, should go both ways, where if it's an enlightened relationship, people will look at each other's needs and not deny them. Because denying people, there are certain needs which are physiological, which are necessary. People need to eat. If you deny a person food, they are uncomfortable. So if you're around somebody that's hungry, feed them. People need a certain sexual interchange. If you deny somebody their sexuality, they're going to hurt. Give them what they need, because if they're in relationship with you, by giving them what they need and choosing to do it, not doing it begrudgingly, not doing it like you're obligated, but doing it with an open heart, they will transform, and the relationship will transform. So, Amadon, I'm going to open up the mics, and those of you that are not speaking now, push star 6, so you're muted, so we don't get echo. Let's see.
All callers are unmuted.
Amadon, are you on the line?
All callers are muted.
Okay, someone's got the radio on. One day we'll have a call just with Amadon, myself, and his friend who's channeling, and they can share their whole experience of that. And if, but we can try this once more though. Star 6 mutes you, and if you got a radio on in the background, push star 6. And if you're Amadon, push star 7, because that'll unmute you. And let's see if this works.
All callers are unmuted.
I pushed star 7, but it gave me a is not valid message.
You're on.
Hey. Hey. Who am I next?
It's Amadon that needs to turn down his radio.
Amadon's no radio. That radio is coming from someplace else.
Turn your radio down. Thank you very much. Star 6, turn, if you've got a radio on in the background, push star 6. Amadon? Amadon?
Huh?
They're not listening, are they? Oh, yeah. This is called going with the flow.
Good job.
Okay.
Very good.
Radio down. I can see somebody now, right now. They're in their car. They're bumping down the freeway. The radio's gone. Oh, man, we're going to listen to the Elohim with all these greatest hits. Wow, what a trip.
Amazing.
At least they have good music. It's not,
Yeah.
Hang on.
All callers are muted.
Well, let's see. How can we do this?
You can give him star.
Well, somebody has got the radio on in the background, Terry, and they're not hearing me. Obviously, I'm low priority, and they're booming their radio, right? So, one way to do this is, if I'm going to get Amadon on, I can have Seth call her. But I don't want to put Amadon's phone number out on BBS. So let me see. Hang on a moment. Hang on. I'll put Seth's phone number out. And let's see. Oh, never mind. I'm going to screw this up, okay? We'll do it next week, and we'll organize it correctly, and all the numbers in advance, next week or sometime in the future. Because, you know, it's a remarkable thing to have somebody listen to this call and then have their partner start channeling right afterwards. And it just indicates, you know, the energy is on the call. And, you know, we'll tune into it more in the next few minutes. If you're new to listening to the call, you'll know that for the past, I'm the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that book introduced a group soul that spoke through Edgar Cayce that identified itself as the Ra Group. And the Ra Group explained that they were a conglomerate of millions or billions of souls that have graduated from this realm, and that they acted for a helper for those of us still stuck here, like you and me. And the Ra Group is extremely wise, And the premise of my book was that it was the Rod Roop who was speaking through Edgar Casey and through David Wilcock, and that perhaps many of our religions and spiritual movements that have been have had the Rod Roop behind them. And that's, say, for example, I don't know if all, but I'm sure some of the prophets of the Old Testament were dealing with channeling. And this is actually how that got started, because they were making themselves credible, getting people's attention, making predictions for the future, and they can do that. And you end up having a Bible, because people say, oh, my God, this must be God. And, you know, in current times, the old way of understanding God is not, for somebody in today's sophisticated world, it's hard to believe there's some guy sitting there watching us all saying, you're good, you're bad, and a lot of people aren't buying that explanation. And many people are getting disgruntled with their religions, and they go to church more for the social aspect of it, and maybe they make a connection with higher vibrations, but they're not actually believing in the rhetoric that's explained within the religion. So now, because of the sophistication of everybody, they're able to explain in a more comprehensive way how things work. And for many people, it's making more sense than the traditional way. The end result is the same, and that is, there's forces in other dimensions that are very positive, that are very loving, that can be our friends interdimensionally, and that they want to connect with us and help us, and that we have to ask for their help, and they don't violate free will. And they're not actually separate from us. They're part of us. They're a unit. We're all part of everything, but they're a part that's behind this veil, so we can't see them. And so in this realm, there's not a lot of evidence that that's true directly. Many people have had evidence that there's something there. They've had dreams. They've had intuitions, deja vu, psychic phenomena, synchronicities. So there's something going on that many people have experienced but don't understand. And this explanation that we're giving is bringing a new level of understanding. It doesn't solve all the mysteries. In fact, I don't think it can be solved. Ultimately, there's a mystery. Probably the real mystery is how did chaos become something? And I don't know. Somebody said if you put a bunch of monkeys randomly typing on a typewriter, that after a certain amount of billions and billions of years, you'd have the Encyclopedia Britannica just by random choice. So maybe that's how it works. Maybe chaos is just constantly rearranging, and suddenly it accidentally crosses into some kind of space where there is coherent energy that becomes aware of itself. And that was the beginning of our universe, and their coherent energy subdivided, and the first subdivision became lots and lots of energies that we're calling the Elohim, and the Elohim created the universe, mostly, I would say, from my conversations with them. It wasn't so much, it was more like they were doing, as an artist would create a painting, they started creating physical universe. And they kind of explained how they did that by projection of holograms and two beings creating a hologram and holding it together. And then it was like a painting, this huge painting, that when they stepped into it, they couldn't get out. They got stuck. And they forgot even that it was a painting anymore. And the painting became real. And for trillions of years or however long, here we are in that same painting, and we're stuck. And part of the thing about being stuck is this veil where you can't get out. And so they're still looking in. The ones that didn't come in, they're still looking in from their side of it, And occasionally, there's a person down here that is able to formulate words from them. And they can give signals and messages and understanding, and oftentimes accompanied with phenomena or miracles, which they can do. And to get our attention, so that instead of just looking in this realm, we start to look for the signals from the higher realms that we can validate for ourselves that they're there. And that once you start that process of looking, and particularly if you're coming into our conference calls, because that energy is on the calls, and I tell people, please don't believe anything, because I tell you, just come in and check it out for a while, because I've watched many people go through our conference calls and release patterns, release things that have been in them all their life, maybe many lifetimes, as a result of being in this energy field. And I say, if you think that I might be legitimate, then experiment with yourself. Check into these Monday calls for 2 or 3 months. We have other calls during the week. Wednesday we have a call with Matthew Edwards where people ask questions. You can check into that call. Get your pencil out. I'll give you the phone number right now. 218-862-1115. And the PIN is 88261. You can actually listen to them answering questions on the spot and hear their answers. And, you know, we couldn't make this up. Matthew couldn't make it up. He's not wise enough. Even though he's wise, he's not wise enough. And so the Rod Group is made up of graduates of this realm, and the Elohim is made up of energies that never came into this realm, or if they did, they got stuck, and they come out maybe at the other end of the Rod Group. But this is a rare opportunity to hear directly what we look like to them, for them to explain to us how to make a connection, how we can benefit from this connection. And of course, we're not talking about this tonight, but we are in this unusual period right now, which is a dimensional shift. And so we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And according to the information from both of these group souls, according to the information that was presented in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, all of us right now are making a choice. But we don't know that we're making a choice. Reincarnation goes on for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes. And according to our information, and this is where I say, don't believe this, just consider that it might be real. According to our information, this particular lifetime or this particular period is different than any other period in the last 75,000 years. That means there's no recorded history for what's going on right now in this period. And so there's nothing you can refer to understand it. Now, I've been communicating with these group souls. I've cross-referenced the information with a lot of other channelers and a lot of other, even the Hopis, the Mayans, other people who channel. And it all fits together. I mean, when we hear about the Mayans, why did the Mayan calendar end in 2012? Because the Mayans were talking to these same higher forces. The Hopis talking to the same higher forces. The Christians, Jesus, Revelations, same higher forces. The Indians, Hindus, have a period which they call Kali Yuga. And some people think we are in Kali Yuga now. The end of a period, the end of an era, the end of a time. And we are, to the best of my understanding, at the end of a time. In my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the point is made that the whole physical solar system is changing by scientifically measurable indications, like planets are getting brighter, there's more space dust, there's weather changes, and on Earth we see increased natural disasters, we see weather changes, there's more solar flares. It's all tied into the 75,000-year cycle. But when I say you're making a choice right now, that doesn't have to do with the physical things that we're seeing in the universe. The choice we're making has to do with the fact that our planet, which is alive, which is a consciousness, is upgrading its energy because of this 75,000-year cycle. And it's going, the paradigm of lesson on this planet is changing from power to heart, power to compassion. Now, power is not bad. Power and individuality has to do with the paradigm we've been learning. You have to learn to be an individual before you can have compassion and love someone else. So part of this whole cycle has been about learning that you exist as an individual and have power. The new paradigm has to do with compassion and empathy, which is good news for a lot of us. But the stickler here is that in order to move into the new paradigm with the Earth, your heart chakra has to be open. Slightly more than half. You don't have to be perfect. It has to be open slightly more than half. Otherwise, your energy field will not fit in the energy field of the Earth. And so the universe has a way of handling this. And that is, if your energy is not in your heart and you're still working on power, then when you die, instead of reincarnating on this upgraded Earth, you end up on another planet in another star system that's still dedicated to power. And you have to go through a whole period of many, 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 many lifetimes working this out. Now, the thing about this period is that because of this increased energy, if you create a high intent to work your karmic patterns out, you can do it fast. It may not be easy. It may be painful. It may surface stuff. But you don't have to take lots of lifetimes to do it. You can do it really, really fast. And you can also do it with the help of these group souls. You know, the help of friends, loving friends, anything to keep your heart open. But you can, we're setting an energy pattern where you can connect with their energy on this call, and they can help. They can help you, but you have to ask. So in order to ask, you have to make sure you can trust them. You have to make sure that there's nothing, no hidden agenda. You're not opening up to something negative. You know, Amadon was talking about how people can connect. Connecting through channeling is a very tricky thing because the negative can also channel. And if a voice comes through somebody and says they're this or that, how do you know they're telling the truth? They could be tricksters. The energy you can feel. You can feel the loving energy in your space. And love is love, and the negative doesn't operate on love. It doesn't come near love. So the first thing is to ask for them in a loving way to be open to the idea that they can, you can feel loved by them. They're an energy that you can open up to, that just like feeling loved by a human, which is, you know, humans come and go, but once you're loved by them, they stick to you as long as you want them. And that's one of the reference points, is reference points that it's my goal to establish on these conference calls. And hang on. It's 6:43. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'll call in the light really quick, and we can let them talk to us. By the way, any of you who are listening on BBS, want to ask a question, we'll consider bringing up one of your questions on these calls. Our Wednesday calls for more personal questions, and our Monday calls for more cosmic questions. So you can email me at winfrey@yahoo.com, and I'll email you back to say we're going to ask your question, and you can come in, be sure and listen that evening. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our universe to the center of our galaxy, through all our planets, and through our bodies, and to the center of the Earth. Each of us being an antenna, a cosmic antenna, receiving station for these higher vibrations, and anchoring it through us and grounding it to our planet. And right now, we invoke a group energy that the parts of each of us that exists in other dimensions, for those of you that are free willing to do this, just ask that we join with each other. And we're all, these dimensions exist beyond space and time so that we can do this no matter where we are on the planet. And now we invite those group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and all those other positive service to other intelligences and energies that are on the other side of the veil to join with us and to create a protected space, and that we can have a verbal communication with them. Do we have a source break? Yes.
Go ahead.
So, do we have a source present?
Yes, this is Ra on.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot tonight about interfacing with the higher realms and creating oneness with those energies. Can you share a bit how that looks? I know that Ra'an is a voice that talks to us that is a conglomerate of both group souls. And how's the experience from your perspective of joining with us and feeling us?
It is like one friend meeting another. One friend, which is us, does not have a physical body. And we are able to flow like the wind, or to share a space, or to get very large, or to get very small. And we are able to be multidimensional and to be with each person as a personal friend at the same time because of our non-linearity.
So does that mean that each person on this line who's listening now could ask for your energy in their space and that you would be able to touch them? What's the criteria?
The individual would need to be open to it. In order for the individual to sense us, they can sense us through the tuning of their frequencies until they sense our energy, which is a loving, flowing, accepting, non-judgmental energy, very loving to each one, very high frequency. If one does not tune into frequency, they may miss the fact that we are here.
If someone is wishing they were could tune into the frequency and listening to the voice right now, what could they do to help themselves tune into the frequency?
Do not worry about it or struggle with whatever frequency you are at. Don't worry about it, because the number of people out there are trying, but they are congealing into a different frequency, and therefore they are not seeing us. If one just doesn't worry about it and just has fun with it and just frees up their energy and lets it flow and comes around and don't think it's any big deal, it's just a different frequency than one may be at. And there, somebody got it just then. Just, it's there for you. And after the call, you can play around with it. Don't worry about it or don't fight it. Just be with it. And you'll catch on. You'll get it eventually.
Now, somebody in this realm might ask, what's the advantage of tuning into the frequency of some invisible force in some other realm? Why is that advantageous?
It is advantageous if someone is looking for the experience of tuning into an intelligence that's multidimensional and can give synchronicities, can help answer prayers when it is in the highest good, can be a friend, can be there, can be loving, and can be the invisible companion as one applies for a job, can help one to realize that they themselves are interdimensional beings, and that when they leave this realm, that any companionship that they strike up, that they experience with the other dimensions, will help them when they leave their body and strengthen their ability to operate as an individual being.
Okay. So